Hey, just before I get started, I just want to cut the conversation off. Every time I wear a suit on a Sunday, people make all kinds of comments. Tell me it's the best looking I've ever been, all kinds of things, and we'd like to see this more and more. Two times a year when it's not funerals or weddings. Two times a year, Good Friday and Remembrance Day, that I put on Saul's armor. And then I'm the next week I'm able to get back to David's clothes, which makes me feel very, very comfortable. So I just want you to know I look good today. So you don't need to say anything. All the guests are going, man, he's cocky. What kind of cocky preacher did they hire? Sorry, that was a bad introduction. Okay, here we go. We probably live in a time in history where there are more distractions in our life than ever before. This week I happened to come across a website that was highlighting this very issue. I want you to watch this video clip.
I'm not hungry.
What's wrong, sweetheart?
I miss Daddy.
I know. We all miss him.
I miss him more.
I miss him the most.
I miss him a lot.
No,
more.
I miss him so much.
Hey, everyone shut up. This filter makes me look like a cat.
It's so funny, it's making me cry.
I'm not hungry.
Oh, I love it. How many say that's our home? You're sitting at the table. Is there anybody? Is it just my home that there are just people who are always on their phone? I've played games with some of my family members, and everybody's on the phone. They're just completely distracted. What I love about this commercial is that most of us would say that there are certain things in our life that we incredibly value. I mean, the father, Will Ferrell, in this clip, he would say, oh, I value my wife. I value my kids. They are a priority. And yet, here he is being distracted by a cat face application for his cell phone. There are so many times where the things that we say we value, the things that we would say are important in our lives, get shoved to the side because of other distractions, things that capture our attention. This is what Jesus was talking about as he sat on the Sea of Galilee, and he shared the parable that we've been looking at the last couple of weeks. We've talked about the seed that lands on the hard soil where the birds come along the path where the birds come along and steal it. We talked about the seed that goes into the rocky places where there's a limestone underneath and there's not much depth and the sun comes along and scorches it. But in the next part of the parable, Jesus is talking about distractions. He's recognizing that there are people in the audience who would say they value the kingdom message. They would say they value the teachings and the teachings of Scripture, that they are greatly important. In fact, in the story that Jesus tells, it's not that they just hear the message. The seed actually goes down, gets root, and begins to grow. The application takes place in people's lives. There's evidence that the message is valuable to them. And yet Jesus says that some of those who are listening, who begin to see growth in their life, will come to a place where that growth will cease because of weeds due to distractions. And I want you to look up at the screen. We're going to look at the Luke portion of this parable today. And it says this, other seed fell among the thorns, which grew up with it and choked the plants. The seed that fell among the thorns stands for those who hear, but as they go on their way, they are choked by life's worries, riches, and pleasures, and they do not mature. Luke chapter 8, verses 7 to 14. Jesus says that there's going to be some seed that lands in the soil and that they will hear it and they will apply it to their lives. And so the growth will start to take place. You'll start to see some fruit of the response to the message. But over time, even though there's good soil, even though there's growth in people's lives, that growth gets stunted because of weeds. And anybody who owns a house or has to take care of a lawn, they know exactly what I'm talking about when we talk about weeds. Every spring, dandelions take over my backyard, my side yard, every place there is grass, including my driveway. I mean, these dandelions have a way of finding themselves just about everywhere. And though I give attention to these weeds, they seem to just keep growing and they push away the good grass that's there. And what Jesus says is that for some of us, as we come to hear the message each week, as we engage with the kingdom message even in our own devotional times, that we receive the message, It gets into our lives and we begin to see growth. And for some of us, the growth is good. The application is there. Every day we're living it out. We're not just hearing it. We're going and doing something with it. But for some of us, there comes a point where we stop doing what the message says. We begin to see stunted growth because there's some distractions that creep up into our lives. Some things that get in the way, like the weeds in the soil, and they begin to compete for the attention of our minds and our hearts. And Jesus says these distractions will actually choke out what God's trying to do in our lives. And he identifies these three different distractions. He says that there is the distraction of problems, those worries in life. Of everything that we're going to talk about this morning, I got to confess, this is probably the thing that does it for me. Whenever there's a problem in my life, whenever there's a family situation or financial situation or some health situation, my mind gets consumed, and it's so easy for the worries of life to consume my time, consume my thoughts, and push out the things that God's actually wanting to do. So problems. Then Jesus says that there are deceptions, the deceptions of riches and abundance, the things that deceive us to put our focus there. And then he says there are pleasures, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, but some of us would come to a place where we start to seek self-pleasure, the serving of oneself. And these three distractions, these three areas that we wrestle with in our minds will stop the growth of the seed. And so we can sit here and go, okay, yeah, I can relate to all those. But the question that you probably need to wrestle with this morning is, if those are the distractions that we're facing on a daily basis, how do we respond to these distractions? I mean, nobody in this place wants to allow the Word of God just to get deep and a little bit of growth and then see that growth get stunted. Nobody in this place wants to see the things of God choked out in their lives. So what do we need to do in order to deal with the distractions that come our way? The first thing I want to point out is this, is that you need to capture your thoughts. You need to capture your thoughts. I remember sitting in the Embassy of the Kingdom of God, which is the church we went to in Oshawa a number of years ago. It was a Sunday morning, and I don't have a clue what Doug Snyder was preaching about. Doug Snyder is one of my favorite Bible teachers. I spent 13 years underneath him, just absolutely love how he unfolds the scriptures. But what had happened to bring me to this place where I wasn't listening was the day before. You see, we had a problem with our washing machine, and it stopped working, and so the problem probably had occurred about a week beforehand, and it stopped working and wasn't dispensing water, a bunch of different problems, and I'm not the handiest man. Okay, like you can ask Ainsley, and she would tell you that I am not the handiest man. I one time fixed our sink using YouTube, and I was so proud of myself, but I am not handy. And so I had no idea what to do, and so for the next few days, we kept on going to the laundromat, and just washing our clothes and drying them, and we're waiting for one of our friends, who's incredibly handy, to come over to check out the washing machine. So finally, we got through this week of going to the laundromat, doing all our laundry that way. Our friend comes over, does a diagnostic test on our washing machine. I don't know what he did, but determined that our washing machine was done. Now, that's the last thing you want to hear. And immediately, I thought to myself, washing machines aren't cheap. I mean, they're not the kind of things that, you pick up a Giant Tiger. I mean, these are costly things. These are hundreds, if not into the thousands. If you're going to get a washing machine that's going to last, you need to spend a good amount of money. And we didn't have the money. That's Saturday. I walk into church on Sunday. Throughout the whole worship, we're singing about God's faithfulness. We're singing songs like we sang today. And all I could think about was this washing machine. That's all I could think about. Your promises, your faithfulness, my washing machine. I mean, it's consuming me, and I just keep thinking about it. And let me tell you about some of the thoughts that are going through my mind. I'm thinking, I need to spend a lot of money. I don't have a lot of money. If I don't buy this washing machine soon, we're going to go to the laundromat every single day, and this is going to frustrate my wife, and this is just not sustainable. And so I've got to figure out a way to pay for it. I'm going to have to use my Visa in the short term. I'm sure I can pay for it down the road. I'm sure I'm going to speak at a couple of retreats that I'll be able to pay this back. But it's going to have to go on my Visa, and I don't want to use my Visa because it's 20% interest. And I just keep thinking about poverty. I mean, in my mind, this little problem is growing into this great big problem. I can see myself like Oliver Twist, wearing gloves without fingers, the same clothes every single week, just going through the street. I can just see it, poverty over my life. And here's the truth, is that in that moment, in that service, I didn't capture my thoughts captured me. You ever been there? How many are there today? Pastor, we don't have a clue what you're saying because we got a washing machine problem. And I remember we, Pastor Doug got to the end of the message and he did something really unique, and our congregation was 1,000 people, and so we just happened to be sitting beside somebody we knew. And he said, hey, what I'd like you to do to end this service is I'd like you to turn around and find somebody beside you and pray with them. Now I know I've done this before, but most people in the congregation don't like it when the pastor does that, right? Some of you, especially the introverts, are going, no, I hate it when you do that. I didn't like it either, and I'm sitting there like, I don't want to pray with somebody. I just want to think about my washing machine. And I remember this girl, it was her sister. Anyways, this girl was right beside us, and we knew her, she says, what can I pray for? I said, my washing machine. As she started to pray, she began to talk about who God was. And all of a sudden, that which had captured me started to lift off of my shoulders. And I began to feel the relief that this is God's problem, because I can't do anything about it. I need his help on this one. And I hit this moment in this peace that overwhelmed me as we prayed, and I thought to myself, I've just spent the entire service ignoring what God wants to say to me because of the worry of my life. I need to take my thought captive, not let my thoughts take me captive. Now this is a principle that we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 5. I want you to look at the screen for a second. It says, we demolish arguments and every pretension that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. And we take captive every thought to make it obedient to Christ. Paul actually says to the Corinthian church that it's our responsibility to take our thoughts captive. Because friends, if you don't take your thoughts captive, your thoughts will take you captive. You will have the message on a Sunday choked out of your life if your thoughts take you captive. You will have the message from the Word of God as you're doing your devotions. You will have it choked out of your life because your worries will take you captive. And Paul says we need to take our thoughts captive. This word captive means to ensnare or to capture. Obedience, to bring it under the obedience of Christ, to come under submission, a yielding to something greater. Listen to this. I think that every time a worry comes, there is some element that is trying to rise up against Christ. There is some element in our thought life that's trying to say it's higher than the person we serve. That Sunday morning, it was poverty. Poverty was saying, I'm stronger than the provider. And I needed to say, no, you're not. Poverty, I have a provider. You need to submit to him. You need to submit to him. Sometimes health issues will come our way. And we start to sit there in the service and we begin to believe that disease and sickness are higher than the healer. And our mind gets focused, and we elevate sickness. We elevate disease. We elevate these ailments. And Jesus sits here, and so the word gets choked out of our life, and we need to say to our thoughts, hey, disease, hey, sickness, hey, ailment, you are not higher than the healer. He's the higher individual. I bring you under submission to him. We need to look at those red lights. The enemy says, hey, look at that. God closed the door. You got a red light. You're done. You need to say, no, you don't understand. This is either a U-turn, a detour, or just God's yellow light. Because God's not shutting me down for good. He's got a plan and a purpose for my life. You need to submit to the authority of God. You see, every time you come into the opportunity to hear from the Word of God, there are worries in your life that are going to try to supersede who God is. And you need to constantly say, I take captive those thoughts and bring them under the truth of who Jesus Christ is. I shared this probably a couple years ago, but just as my oldest son Bailey was heading off to Bible college, it was that summer, and he didn't have enough money for Bible college, and I was completely stressed out. I mean, for weeks on end, I just in my office praying, God, can you just help him? Like, I don't want him to be like an OSAP kid. I don't want him to spend all his schooling, like have to pay for all his schooling through OSAP. And it was just stressing me all out. And I'd go in to pray, and I couldn't pray for things, and I tried to focus, but it would just consume me. And one day, I was just in my office, and I was praying, and it hit me that my belief system was higher than who Jesus was. That I had come to a place of believing that actually I cared for Bailey more than Jesus does. And the Spirit of God spoke to me, and he said, Jeff, don't you know that I care more about your son? Don't you know that I called him? Don't you know that I put the burden on his life? Don't you know that I've got a plan for him? Why are you carrying it? And in that moment, I realized that all that I had been thinking about was how I had been putting above Jesus. And I needed to do a little shift and take my thoughts captive and say, okay, Jesus, you are the provider for my son. You care more about my son than I do. You will look after him. You called him. And I began to focus on him. And in that moment, all of a sudden, I was set free from the ensnarement of my thoughts. Friends, every single time you hear the word, every single time you get into your word, the worries will be there, because let me just tell you something, life has stuff. It does. I mean, life has stuff. I mean, it doesn't matter how much people in this place smile. We all have stuff that we're going through. We all are going through things, and we can allow those things to capture our thoughts. But when we come in to hear the word, when we get into our Bibles and we begin to study it, we need to take every thought that's trying to capture us and put it under the submission of Jesus Christ, saying, I'm not letting you capture me thoughts, but I'm capturing you so that Jesus might be glorified. We've got to capture our thoughts. The second thing that we need to learn when it comes to dealing with distractions is that we need to prioritize our pursuits. Prioritize our pursuits. Jesus talks about the riches or the abundance. And it's interesting that he talks about the deception of these things. This word deceit means to cheat or to give a false impression. There are some times in our lives where the things of success, the riches, the advancement of career, the abundance of things within our homes, the nicer home, the nicer car, the nicer clothes, that those things will try to cheat us, try to deceive us, that we should put most of our energy into those things. They will start to say, hey, if you will just get ahead in your career, everything will be good. Hey, if you would just make a little bit more money, everything will be good. Hey, if you will just spend a little bit more time just building your house up, building your equity up, everything will be good. And the riches and the successes and the abundances of life will try to cheat and give false impressions so that we will spend our energies there so that what God wants us to do will be choked out. I had a friend who I had in to do some worship for a number of the retreats I did when I was youth pastoring. Very, very talented young man, and a call of God upon his life, and went through Bible college, and after he graduated, he was involved in a church position for some time. I've tried to remember this week what actually happened, but something happened that he just didn't find. He found himself not in ministry for a short season. I think there was a transition in his church, and so he just found himself out of ministry for a short season. And in this season where he was out of ministry, he decided to get a job with this Christian company. It was a Christian company because there were Christians who were running it, but they weren't like it wasn't a Christian product or anything like that. They sold computers. And so he thought, okay, I'm just going to take this in the transition time. My friend started making a lot of money. He's a salesman type of individual. He's got a great personality. He's always thinking through things. And he began to make some great sales. And the more hard he worked, the more money he made. He started winning prizes, trips to different locations. Started winning some great material items for his home. And making more and more and more money. And he was doing so well. I remember meeting him one day in the middle of this journey that he was on. And I started to talk to him about the call of God on his life, about what God had asked him to do. And he said to me, he said, God had placed him in this season. He truly felt that God had placed him in this season for a reason, that he was able to bless churches with his finances. He was able to bless other people with his finances. He was able to be a good witness with his finances and in these sales. And I truly believe that can happen. except all he ever talked about were the material goods and the advancement of his career and success, success, success. But what he was sharing with me audibly was just, hey, God's allowing me to bless other people through this. So I was very gracious. I said, oh, that's awesome, super proud. Maybe someday you'll find yourself in ministry. After a few years, something happened within the company and things started to turn for the worse. And my friend found himself out of employment. I remember pulling him aside one day and just began to talk. And as we talked, he said this to me. He says, you know, I thought that this was something that was good. I thought that it was something that I could actually bless other people with. And it was the line that I would always use. But Jeff, if I can be honest, in the midst of that journey, all I ever thought about was becoming successful. All I ever thought about was the next dollar I was going to make. All I spent my energy towards was becoming successful, making more money, and getting ahead, and winning the game of business. He said, I thought that my motives were pure, but in the middle of it all, I lost sight of what God wanted for my life. And friends, this is what Jesus is talking about, is that in the midst of our very wealthy culture, in the midst of us wanting to do well in society and having influence, there is this great temptation within our lives to put all our pursuits, all our energies into things that advance us in our careers, advance us financially, advance us with material things. We get bigger homes, nicer cars, and we gather stuff for this earth, but we forget about His kingdom. His kingdom. Now please, I'm not speaking against wealth. If you want to give me some of yours, that would be great. I definitely am not speaking against success, because I pray all the time that God would use this congregation, that there would be advancement so we'd have greater influence in the city. I truly believe that. But there is this fine line between the seed growing in our hearts and us pursuing kingdom things, and the weeds coming in and us getting the good things choked out because we're spending all our time, all our money, all our efforts on things that are of greater priority than the gospel. So what do we need to pay attention to? I think, friends, we need to prioritize our finances. We need to prioritize our finances. This is the place where I don't get tons of amens, but it's truth. The question that you need to wrestle with if you're going to want the Word of God to be growing in your life is, what does the Bible have to say about your finances? What's the kingdom message with regards to your finances? You see, if you can't wrestle with this conversation, this question, then you can't wrestle with the seeds that God wants to plant inside of you. I'm just being honest. There are many Christians who will give very little thought. They will check out when the preacher talks about finances. And I'm not talking about finances today because we need money, because we don't. We're healthy. We need that. Not that you should stop tithing or anything. But the kingdom message has to go out through finances. And it's not going to come from God just dropping loads of money into CPC's account or some other church's account. He believes in the collective participation of people responding to the kingdom message with their finances. With their finances. And yet so many times we don't prioritize our finances. Do you know, every 2 weeks I get paid. I just got paid on Friday. I actually don't even know fully how much money I make. I got a salary given to me when I first came here, and then raises year to year, whatever. I just money's there. I know I got my budget. It's there. But I do know this, that every Friday, despite what I've been told I'm going to get paid, there is money missing from my bank account. There's money missing, and it's not Pastor Sheila's fault, although indirectly it is. And let me walk you through it. Every single time I get paid, there are these three things that steal money from my account. CPP, EI, and tax. Canadian pension, unemployment insurance, and taxes. Because the government of this land has determined that there's a priority with my finances. And there's, you know, like 75% of my money goes out for those three things at the beginning of each pay. Not 75, but it feels like it sometimes. But the government has determined the priority for my finances. Let me ask you this. If Jesus' kingdom is greater than the kingdom of Canada, shouldn't there be a priority on our finances each time we get paid? If Justin Trudeau can take three forms of money from my account because I happen to live under his reign, and Jesus is my priority, and I'm concerned about his kingdom, then I've got to prioritize my finances for his kingdom. Some of you are going to need to wrestle this one out. You're going to need to wrestle it out. Because friends, I'm just telling you this. You can't say you're under the king and not prioritize your finances for his kingdom. You can't. And what happens is we sow the seed and our money starts to choke us out. We become enamored by it. And God says, I actually want to advance the missions. I actually want to advance the building. I actually want to advance the gospel getting out in Orleans. And he goes, you need to pay attention. You need to pay attention. But we get choked out because something inside of us says, no, no, no. I need a new car. My car has got rust all over it. I need a new car. But there's kingdom priorities. Kingdom priorities. And you've got to prioritize your pursuits. The second thing is not just finances, but your time. Your time. You got to ask yourself this question. What does the kingdom message say about my time? What does the kingdom message say about my time? Let me just say this to you. I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But this doesn't count. Sunday morning doesn't count. This is the seed time. This is where the farmer named Jeff Hillier comes and starts throwing seed out. This doesn't count. This is not the response to you prioritizing your time. Each of us needs to get the seed into us. Prioritizing your time is what do you do to respond to the message outside of this moment? Where are you giving your life to the kingdom? Friends, I want to challenge you. I really do. Because it's not enough to simply come to church and just have seed thrown onto your soil. Just to have it thrown into your soil and then just walk out. Jesus is expecting that we would live out the seed that's planted in our soil. That we would do something for the kingdom of God. That we would advance the kingdom of God. That we would serve in some capacity. And if all we are is soil receiving seed, we're missing it completely. We're missing it completely. I'd encourage you this week to take some time to sit down and look at your calendar. And figure out how much time you spend on various tasks. The average person spends about 7 hours a day sleeping. So that's about a quarter. We spend about a quarter of our time working. That's just for people who just do the basics. Most of us are spending hours into the evening. Spend time with our family. Spend time eating. Spend time doing chores. How much time are we giving to the seed? How much time are we giving to the kingdom? How much of our week each week are we saying, your seed has been planted inside of me, and I'm going to prioritize your kingdom? And you'd say, well, Pastor Jeff, like we're just busy people. It's just super busy. I want you to look at this passage up on the screen, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. It says this, but seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and then all these things will be given to you. But seek first his kingdom. But seek first his kingdom. Friends, above everything you do in your life, you need to seek his kingdom first. This is what true Christianity is. Christianity is not first coming to church. It's not first being moral. It's first seeking his kingdom. The message of the kingdom. The application of the kingdom. The living out of the kingdom. The declaring of his kingdom to people. It's seeking that his kingdom would advance above everything else that you pursue in this world. Above everything. At the very top of the list. Your first priority pursuit should be his kingdom. His kingdom. And I'm challenging you today as a church to sit down and look at your calendar and say, am I truly seeking his kingdom first? Am I truly seeking it? Because I'm not trying to browbeat this morning. But I know the Church of North America. The Church of North America is a consumer church that sits back and just says, come on, just throw more seed at me, Pastor. No, I don't like that seed. Just put that stuff aside. Give me this kind of seed. And we just want seed to be thrown, seed to be thrown, seed to be thrown. And all our soil is full of seed, little sprouts of things. But our life was never meant to just to be a garden with seed on top of it. It was to be a garden that would produce a harvest for the sower. A harvest for the sower. And so we've got to make sure that we're seeking first the kingdom of God. Everybody still with me? All right. Last thing is you need to live on purpose. Live on purpose. Jesus says that the final thing that will choke out the word, choke out the growth, is pleasure. Now, some of you may be sitting there going, oh man, I knew it. Church. They can't have fun. Church, the big killjoy. Now the pastor's going to talk about how we can't have fun. I had this guy in Bible college. I was sitting in the study carrel at Eastern Pentecostal Bible College working on a paper. He came in and I was listening to Amy Grant's Christmas album. And he rebuked me for it. I was like, what's wrong with you? He says, you can't believe you're listening to this. I said, I'm listening to Christmas music. Yeah, but she sings other songs beyond Christmas music. And so we got into this conversation, and I started to get angry with him because he was being very, very legalistic, and I don't like that. And he started going on, and then he starts saying that you can't do anything in life unless it brings glory directly to God. That's got to be your main purpose. So I was like, okay, so I can't play soccer. Like, I love soccer. You can't play soccer unless you're going to figure out a way to bring glory to God with it. Okay. So I can't hang out with my friends not unless it's going to bring glory to God directly. That's got to be the main purpose. Eat. I love eating. When you eat, you better bring glory to God. It's like, okay, what about when I have a shower? And I started asking questions to break down his straw man argument. And he got to this place where he realized he was being foolish because we're to enjoy the blessings of God. It's not that we can't have pleasure. What Jesus is saying here is that when pleasure becomes the main goal, the end game, when it's what we live for. And I don't know about you, but there are times in my life where I am looking for the pleasurable moment. I'm looking for that Friday where I can just chill and relax. I'm looking for that moment where I can just sit with my wife and watch a TV show or watch a movie. I'm looking for that vacation break. I'm looking for that thing that will bring me pleasure. There are just so many moments where I find myself in need of that. And it's okay to have those to reciprocate the hard work we do. But when that's all we ever seek, then we got problems. Then we have problems. It's like this. Farmer comes out one day, he's been sowing seed into the soil, and he says, oh, look, I've got a great harvest, things are growing. And I come along and I start to pick the grapes of the vine, and all of a sudden I hear from the soil, hey, stop doing that. I'm kind of taken back because soil doesn't speak. It's like, am I on camera? What's going on? I go to pick again, and the soil says, hey, stop it. So I start to have a weird conversation with the soil. What's the problem there, soil? The soil says to me, don't touch the fruit because it makes me look good. When people walk by this soil, they see how good I look. I love the smell of the fruit. I like the juices that sometimes seep down into the soil. I like everything that comes from, I like the greenery around me. I'm plain brown, but when the leaves are there, it makes it nice and green. I look so beautiful. So the farmer walks away. The next day, the farmer comes to the soil again and goes to pick from the fruit, and the soil says, hey, stop it! Another conversation. Soil doesn't want it being touched. Day after day after day, the farmer comes and tries to take from the soil, but the soil refuses because the soil wants the fruit in the vine. The problem with this silly illustration is that the farmer wasn't made for the soil. The soil was made for the farmer. And friends, God wasn't made for our pleasures so that we could just have a great life. We were made for Him. We were made for His purposes. We were made for His plans. We were made so that the farmer could come and pick the fruit from our lives so that he could feed people. We were made so that he could sow some stuff into us and he could come along and take it and give it to other people. We're not just to look good and enjoy life. We're to give our lives for a purpose. For a purpose. And what happens is too often we find ourselves simply living from the next pleasure to the next pleasure, the next TV show, the next Netflix special, the next vacation, the next moment where we are delighted, and we look at our calendars and there's so little time where we've given to what the kingdom's about, but so much time towards our own pleasures. We live our lives to be pleased. I've shared before with you that there was a couple on our street when we lived in Port Hope that ended up giving their life to Christ, and we knew that they needed to be discipled. And we lived 45 minutes away from the church we went to, and I knew they weren't going to get discipled there. And Ames and I sat down, and we started to talk about what we were going to do. Matthew 28, 19, and 20 doesn't just say, go and tell the gospel. It says, go and make disciples. Go and make disciples. We start to wrestle. We're like, we should disciple them. I said, Ainsley, we're so busy. I'm always on the road, and I coach soccer. We're involved in so many areas. But the more we talked, the more we prayed, we had to wrestle with that we gave many hours to watching TV in our downtime. And surely if we were able to give towards TV, we could give to a couple who needed Jesus. And so we determined that we would give one night a week to disciple this couple and walk them through the Alpha course. We had to do that. It would have been easier for us just to sit at home and watch TV. It would have been easier for us to find something in the midst of our busy schedule that would have made us feel good. But we were confronted by the fact that we have a purpose in our life, that we are the soil which the seed is planted in, and there's supposed to be a harvest. And the harvest is not for the soil. The harvest is for the sower. The harvest is for the kingdom. And if we're going to let that happen, our lives have to be lived on purpose. We have to take every moment we can and use it for the furtherance of God's kingdom. Friends, some of us need to look at our lives and ask ourselves, are we living on purpose? Are we living on purpose or are we living for pleasure? Now, please, I don't want you to go home and say, Pastor Jeff said we have to get rid of Netflix. He said we can't have it fun. He said that we need to become Amish. I never said that. But what I did say is that can't be our end game. Our end game must be purpose. To live our lives for the sower. To live our lives for Jesus Christ. To live our lives so that the fruit will push away pleasures. That the fruit in our lives will push away those weeds that are trying to choke us. That we would live on purpose for the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do. And so we need to capture our thoughts. We need to prioritize our pursuits. And we need to live on purpose. During the heyday of communism in the USSR, the Soviet leader Nikita Khrushchev talked about the petty thefts that were happening in various factories throughout the USSR. And so what the government started to do is they had gathered together to come up with a plan. They knew they needed to address petty thefts, and so they put guards in each of the factories who would watch to make sure nothing was being stolen. This one day, this guard who had known the workers in this timber factory, he was standing by his post, and there was this one worker, Petrovich. And Petrovich was leaving work, and he had this wheelbarrow, and it was covered with this blanket, probably some kind of tarp. And he's wheeling it, and so the guard stops him and says, Petrovich, I know you. What are you trying to smuggle out of here? And he says, oh, it's just sawdust. Just sawdust. I mean, nobody wants anything with sawdust. He's like, come on, don't try to fool me. Let me see what it is. And so he takes the tarp off and he sees this full barrel load of sawdust. He says, what do you have in there? He says, it's just sawdust. And he says, I want you to dump it right now. And so Petrovich says, okay. And he dumps all the sawdust onto the ground and they begin to spread it out and he realizes that he was telling the truth. It was just sawdust. Petrovich looks up at the guard and says, okay, can I put this back into the wheelbarrow now? Like, yeah, I'm sorry, I thought you were sneaking something out like all the other petty thieves do. So he takes all the sawdust, puts it back into the wheelbarrow, and wheels it out of the property. A couple days later, same thing happens. Challenges him again. So the whole scenario takes place again. He says, sawdust, sawdust. Makes him dump it out, checks it, nothing. Time after time after time. Day after day. Finally, after a couple of weeks of this taking place, the guard stops him and says, Petrovich, I know you. He says, I want to ask you an honest question. He says, what are you trying to smuggle out of here? He says, I want you to be completely honest with me, and there will be no consequences if you would just be honest with me. Now tell me, what are you trying to smuggle out of here? Petrovich looked up at him and said, wheelbarrows. The guard was so distracted by what was in the wheelbarrow, he was missing what was most valuable. And this petty thief was able to steal valuable things because the guard got his eyes on the wrong stuff. And friends, I'm concerned that for some of us, our eyes are on the wrong stuff and the enemy's stealing things from us that God wants to do inside of us. That he's trying to plant seed and produce something so good for his kingdom, but the enemy's coming along and getting our eyes on to the worries of life. The enemy's coming along and trying to get our eyes on to riches and abundance and success. The enemy's coming along and trying to get our eyes on to our own pleasures. And he's stealing from us the things that God wants to do in us. How is it that people can be Christians for so long and yet miss so many of the things that God wants for their lives? I ask that to myself all the time. So often we're looking at what's in the barrel and we're missing the barrel itself. And God wants you to grab hold of his message and push out every distraction that would try to rob your growth. In just a moment, I'm going to close the service in prayer. And if you have some physical need or some emotional or financial need and you just need prayer, I just encourage you to come up and have them pray over you just before you leave the service. Before I address the end of this message, I want every head bowed, every eye closed, I want to ask this one question. You're in this place and you've been robbed of what God wants for you because your mind has been focused on everything else. And today, maybe you've never given your life to Jesus, or maybe at one point you gave it to him, but you've got so far off track that you don't even see growth happening in you. But today you'd say, Jeff, I want to give my life to Jesus completely, fully. I want him to be in charge because only he can produce good things inside of me. If you've never done this or you did it before and you want to make a recommitment, you want to give your life to Jesus, just raise your hand. No one looking, just you and me. Just raise your hand. Just wave it at me really quick. Thank you. Thank you over there on my right. Anybody else? Thank you over here on my left. Anybody else? Thank you at the back. Anybody else? One last chance. Just wave at me really quick. With the heads bowed and eyes closed, I'm going to ask that those three who just raised their hands, would you slip out? Just come down to one of our prayer workers. At church, as we close this service, here's my challenge to you. The Word of God, some of you have heard, you've been in church for years and there's been growth, but I'm asking you, are you having things choke you out? Are there distractions that are preventing God's Word from growing? It's time to capture your thoughts. It's time to prioritize your pursuits. Evaluate what you do with your money. Evaluate what you do with your time and your giftings. And it's time to make sure His kingdom is going forward, not our pleasures. Not our pleasures. And so, Jesus, as we leave this place today, I pray that every person would wrestle with this message, that we would take hold of the kingdom message so seriously, that there would be growth inside of us, that God, we would know that we have been made for you, not for us. I pray this week that we would take every thought that's trying to capture us and we would bring it under the submission of Jesus Christ. I pray that every pursuit that has been deceitful, that God is getting us away from the kingdom pursuits, let us put them aside and go after what you have for us, God. And God, I pray that we would not let pleasure be our goal, but we would make you and your kingdom our goal, that we would live for the farmer today, that your life inside of us would be used to impact this world. Allow the seed to grow into a great harvest so that we might make an impact for your kingdom. And so, God, I commit this congregation to you. I pray you'd use them in a great way. Meet each of their needs and allow them to have kingdom influence this week. We ask in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Have a great week, everyone.